Part 5, Some Thoughts on Immigration, from Roy Beck of the Social Contract magazine.
I believe that you could cut off all immigration tomorrow, and this country would have all the benefits from diversity we would want for the next 70 years without bringing anybody else new in. I mean, look at the diversity this country had in the 50s, and we'd had immigration shut way down for 30 years by that point. I think we just have to look around the world. Where has this kind of diversity worked? I think two places all you can point to, Switzerland and Singapore. So when people say diversification, you go, show me. Let's not use the United States right now as just a sort of a pilot program on whether it can work or not.
Political activist Rick Altman.
I think we should let people in that essentially maintain America at the certain levels that it's at right now, because that would not lead to some dramatic change that we have in this country. Because what's happening now in this country is the basic racial makeup of the country is being changed.
I think there's a need to maintain the illusion that border control is possible, psychologically, if not otherwise.
Anthropologist Christine Ho.
If you have multinational corporations relocating in parts of the globe where there's cheap labor and disrupting the local economy, then you'll have people put in a position where one of the options they see is to leave, to try and see if life will treat them better somewhere else. And, for example, jet travel has made it possible for people to be thousands of miles away in a matter of hours. And international telephone communication. Transnationalism is a concept that has recently been adopted by migration scholars. Now, transnationalism does not necessarily mean people who shuttle back and forth, but that is part of transnationalism. And if there's no way to control the economic forces, such as relocating industries and so on, then there really is no way to control the movement of people either, except by putting in place policies that are, for the most part, ineffective.
Ethnohistorian Pat Wickman.
One striking feature of the Native American worldview is its high degree of flexibility. I firmly believe that Native Americans were and are capable of incorporating elements into their society, of allowing their cultural and their social frontiers to be permeable to an extent, to a greater extent, than Western Europeans are anytime. The fact that they didn't have territorial boundaries that were marked by surveyors' stakes doesn't matter at all. The concept exists whether the fence exists or not.
And political scientist Lynn Leverty.
Immigration as an issue is still not looked at in some areas of the world as it is, say, in the United States or France or some of the other countries that are now really trying to develop strong immigration policies. For instance, in areas of Africa where the boundaries are still fairly liquid and were primarily developed during the colonial regime, it's perfectly normal to have people move across boundaries, and it's not really considered to be a major issue.
And ultimately what matters is what exists in your mind, particularly if you're willing to die for it.
Will we balkanize? Will we become like Yugoslavia and fly apart? Soviet Union, Cyprus, Lebanon, virtually every multicultural, multilingual society in this century has blown apart at some point. There's another grain of thought that says, no, we won't balkanize, we will Brazilianize, which is basically just the wealthy living in a totally different society where they provide their own police force, their own everything, their own schools. Well, of course, that's basically describing what's happening in California. California is Brazilianizing right now.
The Spaniards have a saying that everything in life depends upon the color of the glass through which you're looking. And if you happen to be standing on your side of the glasses and I happen to be standing on my side, we're going to see things very differently. That's fair. That's a fact. The real bottom line comes when we have to decide whose point of view is going to carry legal and economic and cultural weight. And how can we conceivably plan for the 21st century if we can't even deal with the 18th or the 19th or the 20th?